Right, it's lovely to be with you. This morning we're having a family service, so I hope you all feel that there's something for everybody in the service. We're tiny little specks, really, aren't we? When you look at the earth, you look at the universe, we're tiny little specks. And the psalmist said, I think Psalm 8, what is man that you're mindful of him? But he knows all about us. And of course, Jesus said that God even knows how many hairs are on our head. And we always have a bit of a laugh about that, don't we? Especially people who perhaps haven't got quite so much hair as they did when they were younger. But still probably got quite a bit. But it just shows us that God cares about each one of us in a very finite way. I've got one or two pictures there somewhere. There we are. Ah, what we've got there is a house, obviously. Quite a nice house. And the reason I put that picture up is that this morning we're going to talk about faith, but we're going to look at it through three different windows that we find in the scriptures. And if you lived in that house in the 17th century, not that it would look like that, it looks like something off a modern estate, doesn't it? But in the 17th century, they decided to bring a law in, and it was called the window tax. And so some people, what they did, they had a lot of windows, so every window you had to pay tax. They bricked up some of the windows. They couldn't brick them all up, otherwise it would have been pretty dull. But we got quite a few windows in here, haven't we? Yeah. There were such a lot of windows. Yeah. So if we had to pay a tax, probably you'd brick a few of those up. But some people say that's where that term daylight robbery comes from. Other people say, no, it isn't, that's not true, but you pay the tax on your windows. But what are windows for? Well, they're to look out of, they're to look in. If you open them, you can get some fresh air, and probably lately people have been doing that quite a bit. Get a draft through, and you can communicate out the window with people. With modern double glazing, you've got to open the window to speak to somebody, they'd never hear you. Now, we gave up carol singing. We used to do it every year. And with double glazing, people don't know you're out in the street singing. So you have to knock on the door and sing to them through the door. Anyway, let's look at faith and let's look at windows. When we think about faith, and that's the theme for the whole year for our churches in the Estuary Group, forward in faith. And the obvious place to look if you're going to do a talk is Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is a chapter that people say, that's the faith chapter. And in Hebrews 11, there are quite a lot of people mentioned. And there's some detail about those people. But also, there's a bit at the end that says, I haven't really got time to tell you about everybody, but this happened to their people, and that happened to people, and something else happened to people. There's a lot more. There's not just this named list of people. And I want to take you to three of the people who are either mentioned by name or one of them is mentioned by what is said at the end. First one is my window of hope. The window of hope, Noah. You think back to the story of Noah and God telling Noah to build this ark, to build this boat and to bring all the animals into it. He was ridiculed by all those people around. There was only Noah, his three sons and their three wives who helped, who believed in the project, although they probably thought it was very strange, but they were obeying the voice of God. And in the end, we know what happened. There was a flood, and for 40 days and 40 nights, the ark was floating about. And then I just want to read you what happened. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven and kept it flying back and forth until the water dried up from the earth. Then he sent a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove found no place to set its feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days, then sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return. So there's Noah. He's looking out of his window. Well, there's several windows there. It seemed to indicate it's just a window, but somebody's cartoon. the window of hope. He sent out one bird, didn't he, the raven, and it kept flying about. He sent out a dove, but the dove didn't find anywhere to rest, so it came back. And then eventually sent out another dove, and then it brought back an olive leaf in its beak. He was at his window. He was full of hope. Ever been waiting for something, and perhaps you're waiting for Parcel Force or somebody, and you keep looking out the window, and oh no, that's not that van, whatever it might be. Your window of hope. But here, first of all, he had faith. Do you know what it says in Hebrews 11? I'm going to read Hebrews 11, verse 7. I'm reading from the Message. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. That was faith, wasn't it? Can you just imagine that situation? How the people came and ridiculed him. How they said, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. A boat? We're nowhere near the water. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result? His family were saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. And you know, we need hope in our lives, don't we? We need a window of hope that we can look through at times when the times are very difficult. We may feel we're going through a difficult situation. We may feel we're being buffeted by the storms of life. Noah did not lose hope. He obeyed God, and he and his family were saved. Now, go on to our second window. Okay, the window of salvation. That's a great cartoon, isn't it, that one? Okay. The story of Rahab, she's mentioned in Hebrews 11:31. It says this: by an act of faith, Rahab, the Jericho harlot, welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust in God. Joshua had sent out two spies to spy out the city of Jericho, and of course they were soon, it was found out that they had arrived, and the king wanted them arrested, king of Jericho, and he sent people to Rahab's house and said, where are these men that came? You know, perhaps somebody had said, oh, we saw them going into Rahab's house, you know. Anyway, Rahab had hidden them, and she said, no, they've gone. They've gone out the city gates. If you're very quick, you might catch them. And so they sent off people to find these two spies. But they were still in Jericho. She'd hidden them up on the roof, a bit like our other story, except instead of making a hole in the roof, like the story the children helped me with, she buried them under lots of rushes on top of the roof. And they obviously didn't search that well because they didn't find them. And then she had to assist them to be saved. She had to assist them to escape. And there's two aspects of salvation in this story, if you like. Two aspects of being saved. There's the aspect of the spies who she let down with a rope out of her window. And in verse 21 of Joshua 2 it says, let it be as you say. So she sent them away and they departed. Oh, no, it's a different... it mentions window twice. So in verse 15. So she let them down by rope through the window, for the house she lived on was part of the city wall. And so the spies escaped out of the window. It was a window of salvation. But also it was a window of salvation for Rahab herself, because she had helped the spies, she and her family were saved, because they said, if you all go into this house, stay in your house, and you hang a scarlet cord in the window, your house will be saved. And of course, you remember that song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. We're not going to sing it, but they went round and round and round, didn't they? And eventually the walls came crashing down. And from this story, we would understand that part of the wall didn't fall down, and Rahab and her family were saved. So we need hope, don't we? We need a window of hope through difficult times. But we need the assurance, too, of salvation. And that's what God wants to say to us, is that if we don't know that we've accepted Christ, we don't know that we're actually saved, then we need to be saved. And that just helps us to understand the window of salvation. We'll have a look at the third window. This is a window of witness. This is Daniel, who You don't read anything critical about Daniel, not from God's point of view at all. Daniel was taken captive into Babylon, and he made great progress. He made great progress. In fact, as this story starts in Daniel 6, Daniel was one of the three most important people other than the king in the country. They had a sort of setup where there were about 120 people who ruled throughout the kingdom. There were three people in charge of them, and one of those was Daniel. And Daniel had distinguished himself so much among those three, and those 120, by his exceptional qualities, that the king planned to make him the top man, apart from himself, in the whole country. And people didn't like that very much. Well, they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. They couldn't point the finger and say, look, you know, we hear stories, don't we, about our MPs and people claiming expenses that they shouldn't and all this kind of thing. And all this comes out and people point the finger and say, oh, look, this happened and that happened. I'm sure if you looked at Daniel, you'd find that he didn't claim any expenses that he shouldn't do. He didn't act in any ways that he shouldn't do. He had the king's interests at heart. But above that, he stayed faithful to God in this situation. And Daniel had his own window. The officials decided that they would concoct a way of catching Daniel out. Now, the king thought, obviously, very, very, very highly of Daniel. And so, what happened was, they went to the king and they said, King, we'd like you... They grovelled, of course, you know. And they said, we'd like you to make this law and this decree. And the decree was this. The king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, that's the king, O king, will be thrown into the lion's den. And it's a very familiar story, but this is how it came about. Because it was Daniel's... The way Daniel conducted himself each day was that when he prayed, he went to his upstairs room, the windows were open towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. And so he just carried on. That was what he did, that's what he believed in, and there he was. And there was his window open, and there was Daniel praying. And you imagine, this is a trap that was set by these people who wanted him out of the way. So, very soon, some of these people rushed to the king and they said, someone has broken your new law. And it's a law that can't be changed because it's... they had these laws called the laws of the Medes and Persians, which couldn't be changed. And it's a shame some of our laws can be changed, isn't it, really, sometimes? Depends what they are, but... There's certain ones I wish weren't changed. But they went to the king and they said, somebody's broken your law. Oh, said the king. Whether he thought that was a good thing or not, I don't know. But he certainly didn't think it was a good thing when he found out who it was. Because they said, the person who's broken your law, who's found praying to someone other than yourself, was Daniel. And your law says that person should be taken and thrown to the den of lions. The king was very distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, remember, O king, according to the laws of Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order and they brought Daniel, threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. He didn't want Daniel to die. He thought a lot of Daniel. And he acknowledged Daniel's God, didn't he? May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, with the rings of the nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. First light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he said to Daniel, in an anguished voice, he called out to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Now, have I ever done any wrong before you, O king? The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. When Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Even with the threat of almost certain death hanging over him, Daniel didn't compromise. Firstly, he carried on praying to his God, as he'd always done. He didn't not do that. He wouldn't compromise. He continued to pray and give him the honour due to him. Now, the first two people, Noah and Rahab, are mentioned in Hebrews 11. Daniel's one of the ones that he hasn't got time to, the writer of Hebrews hasn't got time to tell us about. I'm going to read just a few verses that help us to understand some of the things that people were going through, various people were going through. And it's from verse 32 to 38, Hebrews 11. I go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David. I was surprised they hadn't got time to tell us about David, really. I mean, that's not fair, is it? Samuel, the prophets. So Daniel was a prophet, even if he's categorized as a minor prophet. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took promises for themselves. They were protected from lions. Ah, that must be Daniel. Maybe other people as well, but Daniel certainly fits that one. And that's why I've chosen Daniel. And so as a summary, I want to give you three verses. First of all, we've got one up there for Noah. Hope. Paul writes in Colossians, verse 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And our hope, we may have various hopes in our lives down here and go through various situations and look forward to various things. But our real hope is the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's look at the second verse. Rahab's window. Salvation. Rest assured, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that actually is from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. I don't think it's fallen off. I think I haven't put it on there. But it's from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one is the window of witness. We have a hope because we believe in Christ. We have a salvation that gives us that hope. And we are, because of that, we are to witness. And this is, of course, from Acts, first chapter of Acts, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so the gospel spread out, didn't it? From that small area, like a pebble perhaps thrown into the water, spread out across to the ends of the earth. And we know that it came to our own country not that long after. So, let's hope in Christ. Let's grasp our salvation and let us be witnesses for him where we are in our situations. So, there's three little windows there for you. And I hope perhaps it will help us to remember things. Think of those windows. Thank you for listening.